the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The subject really is holy living, and that has to do with us. But how could I talk about us before talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? And so that's why we looked at certain things concerning Christ. And one main feature that comes out of from what we said yesterday was this, that the one thing that puts the dread and fear in the minds and hearts of the demonic world is holiness. You notice, you remember that I said, Thomas said, my Lord and my God, and others said something else. Good, everything was good. Then the enemies of the Lord said, you're a demon, you got a demon in you, you're a Samaritan, and so on and so forth, and you're mad, and so on. But when the demons came onto the scene, they said one significant word. The one thing that they feared, you are the Holy One of God. All right, let's relate it to us. We're living in a demonic world, a wicked world. If there's anything that the demons and Satan himself, the principalities and powers, should see in your life and my life, it's holiness. We could do everything else in the world. We could be masters at everything, even all the spiritual activity. We might know the scriptures by heart. It means nothing if there is no holiness and a clean life where God is concerned. So that's why I think this is of paramount importance that we speak of holy living. Now, when we come to today's message, we come back to that key verse, and that is, be ye holy, for I am holy, which is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. It's a quotation from Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45, and several portions in Leviticus. Thank you so much. Several portions in Leviticus. Everywhere God says in the Old Testament, I am the Lord. I am the Holy One, and so on and so forth. So you find that the transition from yesterday's message to this today's message is this, and that is, since Christ is holy, impeccably holy, absolutely holy, in nature and in every way, then because Christ is in you as a believer, you have everything that it takes to be holy. You've got it in you because Christ is in you. Now, that one line sums up all that I want to say in the next however much time I've got. Now, God does not ask us, yesterday I said, God does not ask us to do anything or command us to do anything for which he does not give the adequate strength and the wherewithal and the ability to do it. God doesn't expect that. If God asks you to do a thing, asks me to live holy and you to live holy, then he gives you the strength and the wherewithal to live holy. Without that, it would be unreasonable. But God says, okay, be holy, and here's how you do it, and this is the strength you have. And I want to say this morning, two major things in my mind are these. One, you are holy. Are you a believer? Are you a child of God? It may be that one or two here have not received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, so that puts you into another category. And there are only two categories in this world, and that is the believer and the unbeliever. The believer, the one in whom Christ dwells because you've received him. And the unbeliever, the one in whom Christ does not dwell, because you haven't received him as yet. As simple as that. So you've got only two categories. Now, if you have received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then the fact, according to the scripture, is you are holy. Not you will be holy. You are holy. You were a sinner. Now you're a sinner saved by grace, and you are holy, not by reason of what you're doing or how you're living, by reason of the fact that Christ, the Holy One, is living in you. The second major thing this morning would be, you can live a clean and a holy life. Agreed with me? You'll have to agree, because the Bible says that. You can live a clean and a holy life. All right, let's begin. Now, the first thing that I want to say is, if we say you are holy, now how did this come about? Was it your idea? Or is it that we just adopted another religion, another denomination, another set of codes for our Christian living? Nothing of the sort. How come this whole idea that of being holy has come about? The answer is this: God has chosen us for this purpose, that we might be holy. Now turn with me to Ephesians, and you're going to have a few scriptures to turn to. So turn with me to Ephesians first of all, and let's read. Verse 3, by the time you get verse 4, I'll quote verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You got it? Ephesians, some of you are still looking for it. You'll find it very hard to find it in the Old Testament. It's somewhere in the New Testament. If you haven't got a Bible, Phil will gladly give you half a dozen each. Okay, have you got it now? All right, let's look at it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That means it's done. How did he bless us? I mean, what did God have in mind when he blessed us? Verse 4, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Isn't that good? Did he choose you? Answer, yes. When did he choose you? Somebody say? Before the foundation of the world, before anything was created, God chose you. But you were not there. What a ridiculous thing it is for me to say he chose you when you were not there. Imagine that. But God is God, and he knows the end from the beginning, and long before you were born, you ever came into this world, God knew you. And that's something you and I can't understand. One day we might have to go home and ask him over there, Lord, how come? How come you know everything? We didn't know you were like that. And then God says, don't worry, my child. There are a lot of things I know, and you don't know yet. It'll take an eternity for you to learn. That's the way God is going to. He'll give you a pat on the back and say, go and play. And we'll run down those golden streets, I tell you. What a lovely thing it's going to be. God knows. Wait a minute. God knew you before you were born. Imagine that. Now, I see you now. Even if you tell me your name a half a dozen times, I meet you next time, I'll say, what's your name? See, I don't know you. You know, you don't know me. Now, God knew you even before you were born. Praise be to God for that. And even more exciting than that is this. What? What do we read? Just as he chose you in him before the foundation of the world, it means he chose you. Isn't that lovely? You think you're a nobody? You think you're lonely? You think that others are better than yourself? And I mean, you can never match up with that. Don't worry about matching up. God has chosen you. And he didn't match you up with anybody else. He just chose you because he loves you. How's that? Isn't that lovely? Just because, you mean you loved me before ever I came into being? Yeah, that's right. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And for what purpose? Have you got that page open? Everybody read the next line, please. Foundation of the world, and then it says that we should be what? We should be holy and without blame before him in love. Okay, go backwards now. Right, what have we got? For what purpose has God chosen us? Answer. That we should be holy. That's the ultimate goal. Isn't that marvelous? And so therefore, if God had that goal in his mind, God can do anything. He spoke and the worlds came into being. He said, let there be light, and there was light. God just had to throw the stars into the empty space and you've got a universe. What a God. Such a God says, I want you to be holy. Okay, what else has he says? All right, let's say like this. He has chosen you, and for what purpose? That you might be sons. That he might have adopted sons. Where did I get that from? Right there, next verse. Now, when you read a verse of scripture, take a good look and see whether there's a full stop at the end of it or a comma. Some of these new translations, maybe they don't have what I have. What have you got at the end of verse 4? Somebody tell me. I've got a comma. I don't know about you. If there's a comma, it means go on. Don't stop reading. Right? What have you got? To be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined. You see that? It's a continuous tense. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That was his will, that was his purpose, and what was that? He chose you that you should be holy. And how did he do it? Having predestined us to the adoption of sons. Now leave out the word predestined, leave out the word adoption. What did he want in heaven? Tell me. Sons, that's about it. He had one son. He has one son. Okay, he had one son, sorry. My grammar is wrong. He had one son. And that is? Come on, everybody. Joseph. Am I right? He had only one only begotten son, and that was Daniel. Then what? The Lord Jesus Christ, 10,000 times over, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, and he loved him so much. I tell you, he loved him so much, he wanted many sons in glory, just like his son. How do you like that? You see his purpose? Now, he wanted the heavens to be filled with sons, every one of them, just like his son. What kind of sons, you ask me? You see, angels are also called sons of God. Do you know that? In the Bible, you say, the sons of God appeared before God, and Satan also came among them. You remember that? All right. Then you also got a general talk about, a general description of humanity. And God calls them, these are the sons of God. Okay, sons of God, just because we were made in the image of, what's the first man's name? I've forgotten. Okay, Adam. See, I even forgotten that name. Too bad, isn't it? All right, Adam. Now, wait a minute. It's not just Adam. Then we are special kind of sons. What kind? Predestined to be predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now we come to the word predestined. You know what is destination? Anybody knows? Nobody knows. What is destination? Not, yeah, where I'm going. The end of my journey. That's the destination. What's the ultimate goal? You know, that's better, isn't it? What's the destination? Ultimate goal. When you put a pre before the destination, what have you got? Pre, say it. Pre, destination. The word pre only means that the destination or that ultimate goal has been determined beforehand. Isn't that as simple as that? Some people get so, you know, hassled over this word predestined. How can God predestine anybody to go to hell? Now, don't talk about that. We are not talking about hell or heaven here. Predestined to what? Answer, to adoption as sons. Let's say to this morning, one of you is not a believer. And when I preach the word here, at the end you say, I want to become a believer. I'm sorry, I repent, I'm a sinner. I want to come to Christ. And you come to God, and then God wrings his hands and says, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do with him. You think God does that? You mean God has already determined what he's going to do with a sinner who repents? That's right. You see what I mean? Someone who repents and comes to him, God's got his arms wide open. Come, come, I know what I'm going to do with you. That is predestined. You got my point? All right. You are predestined. God has decided already that when you come to him, what he's going to do with you is he's going to adopt you as son. Not the kind of adoption we have in this world. Right? Somebody legally adopts a child. And all. We're not talking about that. This adoption is you are a child by birth. But you come into the full rights. Just like Christ has every right as the Son of God, you also come into the same rights. Just like him. What a high privilege. What a lofty calling. Predestined. Wait a minute, I'm not satisfied with that. I want to see whether there is another verse in the Bible with the same word predestined. Shall we look for it? Anybody knows? Just think. And we know that all things work together for good. All right, somebody's got it. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, even to those who are the called according to his purpose. That's verse 28. Now take a look. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Have you got it now? Okay. Take a look at Romans 8:29. What does it say? Somebody said something?
For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of the Son.
Okay. The first part of it is, for those whom God knew beforehand, that's what we talked about just now. Okay, he knew beforehand. He predestined for what? Okay, everybody say it. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. Now that predestined, you know the word. The ultimate goal when he chose you, what is his purpose? He predestined or he determined that ultimately, you will be exactly like Christ, conformed to his image. How lovely. We just don't pretend to be somebody. You're actually going to be like Christ, conformed to the image of Christ. Therefore, if Christ is holy, then you are what? Holy. That's all about it. God's determined, God's purpose is that you might be holy just like his son, that he might have many sons in glory just like his son. Holy, harmless, separate from sinners, undefiled. What a beautiful thing. Now, wait a minute. That is with regard to God's choosing and purpose. Okay, how did this actually practically come about? The next point is, we are holy because we are born anew or born again. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you are born again? When's your birthday, ordinary birthday? Don't raise your hand, please. All right? When's your birthday? Okay. Mine's on July 4th if you want to send me a card. All right. Okay, you got a birthday. But you haven't got 10 birthdays, have you? Lydia?
No.
How many birthdays have you got?
15.
Wow. I got you there. All right. So you see, we all laugh because it can't be 10, it can't be 15. You've got only one birthday. There was only one time you came into this world. And you are Lydia. Or you're Grace, or you're John, or whoever. All right, praise God for that. Now God says, you're going to have only one birthday if you're going to be born in my family. Is that clear? It's got to be only once, not born again and again. Now, the Lord Jesus did not say to Nicodemus, okay, Nicodemus, here's the, what you call, solution to your problem. You got to be born again and again and again and again. Right or not? All those who think that's right, raise your hand. Nobody raises your hand. Then what? You got to be born again only? Only? Once and once for all. Isn't that lovely? All right. Now, if that's the case, you're talking about being born anew or born again. It is not a renovation. God doesn't take this old man and do him up a bit and patch it up a little bit and, you know, do all sorts of things. Wow, this looks so good. No, no. He's doing a brand new thing. Somebody say amen. I don't know whether you know that word. Amen. That's it. He's doing a brand new thing. Amen. That's it. You're born again. Praise be to God. All right, where do you find that? John chapter 3 now. That's very easy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Come on, get it soon. Here's a Bible or two for anyone wants a Bible? Come on. And go around and see if anybody else wants a Bible. Okay, what have you got? John chapter 3, verse 5. Look at it. John chapter 3, verse 5. And what do we read over there? John chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, Jesus answered, verily, I say, truly, I say to you, except one is born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, which means the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Is that clear? All right. That means, how are you born? According to this verse. All right. Let's say like that which is born of a tiger is what? Oh, you're sure of that. 10 on 10. 10 on 10 for you. That which is born of an elephant, come on, is an elephant. That which is born of a snake is a snake. It can't be anything else. And that which is born of the Spirit has got to be what?
Spirit.
That's what you got here. That which is born of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, this new birth or being born again is of the Holy Spirit of God. You got it? That's how it happens. You're born of the Holy Spirit of God. And when that happens, now wait a minute. How does it actually happen? You hear the gospel, and then when you hear the gospel, you feel convicted in your heart. Yes, what God says is true. I am a sinner. And if I remain a sinner like this, and I don't come to God, I'll go to an eternal hell, a lake of fire, which God has prepared not for me, he's prepared it for the devil and his angels. But if I don't repent and I don't come to him, that's where I'll go, and I'll share the end or the fate of the devil. Okay, that's what it is. But if I'm born again, and how does that happen? When I realize I'm a sinner, and I say, Lord, I'm sorry I'm a sinner. And I can only understand this when I look at the cross and see how much you suffered for me. How much you bled and died, and you took the wrath of God. You absorbed the wrath of God in my place. And how you suffered, I can never understand it, Lord. But it's my sin that nailed you to the cross. I agree. And I admit that. Oh God, forgive me. That's one side of it. Then you say, Lord Jesus, because you died and rose again and you're a living person, not like in India where we have 33 million gods, not all the gods of stone and trees and wood and everything else. You're a living God. Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart. Come into my heart. The moment you do that, you don't understand how it happens. You don't have to. You open the door, you say, yes, the door is open, and Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen, powerful Christ, this Holy One of God, by his Holy Spirit, comes into your heart that very instant. You feel good? For one time in your life, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's it. He comes into your heart and you're a child of God. And the Holy Spirit doesn't come in and go out, come in, see you day after tomorrow. Not that kind of a thing. He comes in and he dwells there, and your spirit and his spirit come into an inseparable union. You get me? Now take any child, for instance. So many little ones running about in our camp. Take any child. That child is a separate entity, a new person with a new set of fingerprints in this world. And yet, that child is a perfect blend of the mother and the father. Agreed? That's how it is. In the same way, you cannot cut off the ear and say, this is mama's. And say the left hand, oh, that looks like dad's. No, no, you can't do that. It's a perfect blend. And it's a new person. So there is a perfect blend, an inseparable union between your spirit and the Spirit of God. Never, ever to be separated. And therefore, you're born again by the Holy Spirit, and you're forever the child of God. You feel happy? Wow. I tell you, I don't know. The angels don't know how to feel happy just like we do now. I'm telling you that. You ask Gabriel if you like. No, they don't feel happy. They don't know. They go to God and say, oh God, what's the matter, Gabriel? Tell me, please. You know, those people look so happy. What's your grace like? He says, go to the library and study it up. And Gabriel goes all over heaven, every corner, Brisbane, this place, that place. And then comes back to God. Oh God, what's the matter now? There's no library in heaven. Yeah, I thought as much. And then God says to Gabriel, then where, Lord, where shall I read about it? He says, your library is down there. Where, Lord? Go to, what's this place called? All right, doesn't matter what this place is called. Go there. And he says, look at the church. That's your library. You go there and look and learn the manifold wisdom of God when you look at the lives of each one of my children over there. And today, you won't believe it. Don't look up. You can't see them. But I tell you, myriads of angels are wanting to look at you and learn from you. Even if you're all alone in a college or university somewhere, you're the believer. And the eyes of the angels are upon you. And they say, wow. I don't know if they say that, but I think they say that. I tell you, they really wonder at what is happening in your heart. My goodness, it's amazing what they see in your heart. You're a child of God. And you know what's most astounding is this. Yesterday, didn't I tell you that the angels of God, they fly about the throne, they cover their feet, cover their faces and say, holy, holy, as if I'm unholy, I'm not worthy to look. Oh, all right, all that, the angels. But then, when the angels of God look at you, see your heart, you know what they see? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians. Then that's not too hard to find. It comes just before 2 Corinthians. Okay? You got it? Chapter 6, verse 19. Know ye not? Wait. Don't be too excited. Everybody read now together. Everyone read together. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom you have of God. Isn't that right? And who is in you, and whom you have of God, and you are not your own because you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And your body, take a look at your body. Take a look, I'm saying. That's better. All right. You know what that body is? Somebody tell me. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And if the Holy Spirit is holy, then this body should be holy. Not just the Bible or Christ or anyone else. Your body should be holy. And when I talk about your body, I'm talking about your body. You can't be spiritual in church with your spirit, and when you go out into the world for the next 6 days, you can do what you like with your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and therefore, whether be it your eye, your mouth, your whatever, your heart, your thoughts, your mind, it's got to be holy and clean in the sight of God. Why? It's because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in there. You have him from God, and he is in you, and you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, you can't do what you like with your body. You can't do what another person likes with your body. Get that plainly and clearly. It's from the Bible. Okay? Then, talking about born again, that you're born of the Spirit. Is that all? Is that all you got about how you're born again? Anybody else? Anybody tell me? 1 Peter 1 and 3. 1 Peter 1 and 3. All right, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'll do it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has done what? Somebody say. has begotten us again. So you're born again. Now who, I'll use the old word, okay? Who begot us? Or who gave birth to us, according to this verse? God, His abundance mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope. He has begotten. When you say begotten, it means somebody had a baby. Somebody gave birth to a child. In this verse, who is the one? In that verse we saw we are born again by the Holy Spirit. Here, what are we seeing? Who begot us? Doesn't matter if you're wrong, just say it. God. That's right. It says God the Father has begotten us. In other words, God, as if He was the mother, He gave birth to you. He went through the pain and the pangs of birth and He gave birth to you. In other words, you're born of the Holy Spirit. Now in this verse you read, you're born or begotten of God. God has given birth to you. All right? If that's the case, then you are a child of God. As simple as that. Now come with me to a third thing. Begotten again. Number one, by the Holy Spirit. Number two, by God the Father Himself. Thirdly, 1 Peter chapter 1, same chapter, verse 24. Verse 23. Having been born again, same word. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now that needs a little explanation. We are talking about seed, okay. You're talking about corruptible seed and incorruptible seed. You're born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How do you explain that? Now, my dad's name was Stanley Dawson, Stanley Herbert Dawson, okay? He died in 1982. I was born of Stanley Dawson. And Stanley Dawson was a man. And I'm a man. I'm born of him. I'm just like him. Now, he died, and therefore, what do you think about me? I also will die, because I'm made of the same stuff. If this is corruptible because I'm only he's only a human being and he's going to die. I'm only a human being, I'll die, okay? But you are born again, not of corruptible seed. You're born again of who? Number one, you're born of the Holy Spirit. You're born of God. And therefore, it is called incorruptible, or in other words, you can never die. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. What is the incorruptible seed according to this line? Tell me. Yeah, if you can't get it quickly, you look it up. I'll wait. What's it? The incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Okay, now, you know what we are relating? We are relating something to something. That is, the seed, we are relating to the word. Now, who is the seed? What is the word? Does anybody know? All right, don't think too hard. I'll help you. Come back with me to, don't turn in your Bible. Come to John chapter 1, verse 1, and quote with me. In the beginning, come on, everybody. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and nothing was made without Him. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. That's Christmas. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is that Word? Answer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You got it now? So we are begotten again, or we are born again by the Word, by the incorruptible seed, by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are involved in your new birth. Isn't that lovely? You take that character. That's the character you've got. Are you a believer? You accepted Christ? That's the character you've got. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That character is in you now. Isn't that lovely? That's the end result, the ultimate goal for which God has called you. What a beautiful thing. And therefore, we conclude that if that's the case, then that which is born is holy. Now, when the angel of God came to Mary, he said, you're favored and all that, and that's over. Now, how can this thing be, she said. And the angel answered, and the Spirit of God shall come upon you. And the power of the highest God, the Father, will overshadow you. And that holy being that shall be born of you. So therefore, that which is born of the Holy Spirit is what? A holy being. And if you are born again of the Holy Spirit, you are what? Say it. Don't feel afraid. Say it. It is true. You are a holy being. You are a holy being. What a beautiful thing. All right. To sum up this part, I'll give you two verses of scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. You're in 1 Peter. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. We're cutting into a long sentence, but we read. By which we have been given, no, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of, tell me. You are partakers of what? The divine nature, the nature of God. Therefore, every true believer is a partaker. You are a human being, but at the same time, you are partakers of the divine nature of God. Isn't that marvelous? Wow. Come with me to one last verse of scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 9. Now, what is the conclusion of the matter now? It's like this. 1 John 3, 9. I would really appreciate it if all of you read it with me. And we'll read it the second time as well. All right? So begin. Whosoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now the second time, whoever is born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now you are born again. You're born of the Holy Spirit. You're born of God. You are born of God. And whoever is born of God does not sin. For, he tells you why. Why is it that you, this new person that you've got does not sin? Tell me. His seed remains in him. You get what I mean? You get what I mean? I don't know, you have mangoes in Queensland? You do? We have plenty in India. You plant a mango seed and then you get fruit up on the mango tree. Lovely oranges. What's wrong with you? All of you are looking so dazed. I tell you, a mango seed and you've got oranges. Can you imagine that? No, a mango seed means you get mangoes, don't you? In the same way, you have his seed. Whose seed? God's seed remaining in you. And the fruit will be what? It's Christ-like. And it is his seed. That seed is Christ. and he remains in you. And therefore, you know why I'm this color? You have any idea? You think I went to the beauty parlor or something? Nothing of the sort. No facial, nothing, but I've got this color. It's kind of brown, isn't it? And my goodness, you've got another color. And you've got another, you've got another. Right, why am I this color? Now you go and have to study it up in college. Come on, say, tell me, anybody tell me, why am I this color? Why am I this height? Why is this, my nose shaped like this? Can't even see it. All right, come on, tell me. Why is it like that? Tell me, just simply tell me. It's in your what?
DNA.
DNA. Wow. Man, it's in your genes, it's in your DNA, it's in your genes. I can't help but be this color. It's in my genes. And it's in your genes to be like Christ. Say hallelujah quickly.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's in your genes, I tell you. What a God. What a salvation. That's what you are today. Blessed be God. Thank you.